Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! Oh, and the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in. It's a Friday edition of the show. We're live from the Big X Sports Radio studios in Jeffersonville. A reminder, if you can't catch us live at 11 a.m. each day, make sure you check out the podcast. We're in Apple Podcast and also SoundCloud as well. So plenty of ways for you to join us, and we appreciate all of you that listen, whether it's live here on the radio, at your convenience later in the day, later in the night, as a podcast, and glad that you find a way to be with us each and every day on the program. Let's jump into the show today. We always start with a COVID-19 update, whether it's numbers from Clark County, Floyd County, a sad story locally, maybe some good news locally, or how COVID-19 has affected and will continue to affect sports. And today I've got a good note and a sad note, and we'll start with the sad note. A New Albany High School graduate, also a member of the Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame. His name is Ed Siegel, Coach Siegel, as I've always known him. He passed away Wednesday from COVID-19. He was 87 years old, and not only was he a big-time athlete at New Albany way back in 1950, which was the year he graduated, but he also went on to be a coach in Indiana, and a pretty successful coach at that. His great years were at Pike High School in Indianapolis, where he really got that program rolling. And, of course, Indianapolis Pike has continued most years to be a powerhouse in Indiana high school basketball. But Coach Siegel, his days all started as a Bulldog at New Albany, where he was, again, a very important athlete to the school. He was a three-year letter winner, basketball, track, and cross-country. Coach Siegel participated in, and again, basketball, he was a big part of a New Albany team that got to the state finals. They were defeated by Lafayette Jeff that year in overtime by 2 points in the semifinal round, which was played at Butler Fieldhouse back in that time. So our thoughts and prayers to the family of Ed Siegel. He was somebody that, excuse me, very often you'd see at a game, occasionally at New Albany, maybe the New Albany Jeff game over the years some, definitely at games throughout the state as well, some of the big games. And so we send our thoughts and prayers to his family, a very notable figure in Indiana high school basketball. Also, New Albany graduate Romeo Langford up in Boston, really neat deal put out yesterday by the Celtics. He has pledged to provide meals for Boston healthcare workers. The Celtics kind of taken to social media and videos to kind of challenge each other. And Romeo was challenged by a fellow Celtics player. And in his acceptance and announcing that he will provide meals, he also challenged Marcus Smart of the Celtics. So good to see a local guy that's having success and making some money in the NBA, willing to give back. And, of course, Boston has been a pretty hard-hit metro area from New York to Boston and in between. That's been a very sketchy location for this coronavirus that's hit hard, and so neat to see that. Let's get into the full show today, the show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we have our Zaxby's headlines. Some big news to get to. Demezi Anderson is transferring from the Indiana program. We'll talk about that in our headlines segment. We'll talk about the NFL draft last night and more, all coming up here in just a few moments. Later in the show today, it's the normal lineup. Jared Morris of the Assembly calls with me in the next segment. We'll talk more about Demezi and his departure. Of course, that opens up a scholarship for next season if Archie Miller wishes to use it and has someone that he wants to offer it to. We'll catch up on that as well and a few other things. Later in the show, Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star, talk a little Demezi with him as well. He had a great opportunity to follow him in his high school days, and we'll talk some other basketball topics with Kyle when he's with us a little bit later in the program today. Visit your local Honey Baked Ham store in New Albany. Listen to this. With a $15 purchase at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany, you can get a large bone-in ham at 50% off. It's a great deal going on for a limited time at Honey Baked Ham store in New Albany. Let's get into our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. And before I start those, let me remind you that love to hear from you. Send us a question, a comment for the show, a topic for the show, something you want to ask one of the guests about Demezi Anderson or what Archie Miller could do with that open scholarship. Follow me at Hoosier Hills. Again, all one word, Hoosier Hills on Twitter. You can tweet me. You can send me a direct message there. Love to get your questions, your comments. We'll do our best to get them on the air. And, of course, on Facebook as well, you can follow us by looking up the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison on Facebook. Like us, and you can message us there as well. Get updates on the show also. Today, the first headline, Demezi Anderson is a departure for this Indiana basketball program. Can't say that I'm surprised. The only thing I will say is that we hinted or thought maybe after his freshman year he might depart. He stayed around, which is admirable. There were some opportunities given his way this season. Couple moments, he looked pretty good. A lot of the other moments, he looked like maybe it would be a tough situation for him to ever break through into a real meaningful position. I think the surprise here for me, the only surprise, is you would think he would have announced his transfer, especially given the coronavirus and given how early the season came to an end for everybody and how active the transfer portal got going really in the middle of March. You would think he would have announced his departure at least by the middle part of April, you know, April 15th, and maybe even more so in early April, so he has the most opportunities to be recruited, and he's going to be recruited. He's going to play Division I ball somewhere next season, or at least be on a roster next season, depending on what happens with the one-time transfer rule. But will he drop down to a mid-major school in Indiana? Will he drop to another lower scale school in the high major side of things as far as conferences go? We'll have to see. But here's what Demezi said on social media yesterday. This is yesterday afternoon. He said, "Never thought I'd ever do this. I want to say thank you to my brothers, all the managers, and the coaching staff for allowing me to be part of an amazing university. I want to thank Lowe for pushing me to be the best version of myself in the classrooms and actually seeing something in me that wasn't just basketball. I am thankful for everything she has done for me. I want to thank everyone who has supported me and followed me through this process. I appreciate it more than anything. After some long talks and coming to an agreement as a family, we feel that it is best entering the transfer portal is what's best for us." And I botched that up a little bit. Love, Hoosiers, is how Demezi wrote his social media announcement that he would be entering the transfer portal. He is from South Bend, played at Riley High School, and, of course, some minutes early in the season especially, 26 points and 14 points in the season's first three games. Had some, obviously, games there where you thought maybe that he would really have an opportunity to do well. He scored 26 points over the first three games of the season. His career high came against Troy when he scored 14 points in that contest. But again, his minutes dwindled as the years went on. I don't have the stat in front of me or his season stats, but I read a story that said he missed his final 15 or 18 shots as a Hoosier in his sophomore season, which obviously is a bit of a slump. But Demezi Anderson's departure, probably most importantly, opens a scholarship for next season. Now, there is already one open, but it's kind of assumed that Christian Lander is in the process of reclassifying to take that spot, and that would be the open spot gone. Now that Demezi's departing, that becomes the second open scholarship. So Indiana, even though it is pretty late in the transfer portal, could be active, whether it comes to a transfer, a graduate transfer, maybe a junior college player. And again, this 2020 class that's seniors right now, most, if not all, typically, you've got it figured out for next year especially in basketball, which the season was, you know, the high school season was in the winter. But given the crazy times we're in, there are going to be some players that are still looking. And also, something else to note, the NCAA's waived a lot of requirements to get into school. So a player that maybe thought they were going to have to go junior college and get re-recruited might be eligible to play Division I basketball to get into a Division I school that might typically not be able to without a little bit of academic work heading in to things. So who knows how it's filled, if it's filled for next season, but another scholarship offer opened with the departure yesterday of Demezi Anderson. NFL draft last night. I'm not a big NFL guy. I'm not a big draft guy in general. I do watch the NBA draft and maybe the Major League Baseball draft if we've got some locals that are projected to go in certain rounds. But I did tune in a little bit just to see the setup. I think a lot of people, how are you going to do a draft with all the teams and their research and they're tracking everything and, you know, the green room normally and the each team has its own bunker, war room, whatever you want to call it, where they've got everything set up. How in the world is this going to happen at homes across the country when even the own team and their personnel really can't be together? So actually, job well done, I thought, for what it was. The commissioner with the announcement of each pick from his, I guess, living room that was. Some TVs in the background to kind of bring some graphics so you knew the team. You saw the logo. There were even fans piped in. Again, each individual little bitty screens within the television screen because it may have been a husband and wife or a couple fans together that lived together on a video type deal. So pretty creative there. Neat to see how it worked. I don't think there were any major flub-ups or anything like that, but there also weren't a lot of trades or wild things that have been known to happen at the NFL draft over the years. Seemed like a pretty mild draft last night. Round 2 and 3, I believe, continues today. And no Indiana football players selected yet as far as Hoosiers, but the Big Ten has had 5 selected. Ohio State, 3. Iowa, 1. And Michigan, 1. SEC completely dominating after the first round. They have 15 players with LSU having 5 and Alabama 4, Georgia 2, Auburn 2, Florida and South Carolina 1 apiece. But the SEC dominating as far as the number of players going in the first round. I think Indiana has some guys that you'll see drafted a little bit later in the draft, and so I'm sure when we come back on Monday we'll be able to tell you about some Hoosiers that will be playing NFL football that have been drafted for next season. Also a basketball transfer note, just as we went off the air yesterday, Purdue graduate transfer Matt Harms announced that he is picking BYU over Kentucky and over Texas Tech. So some people surprised by that, others not, but he basically said in the story that he made a great, great connection with BYU and wants to finish his college career at that level. And, of course, also it gives him a chance to play in a program that, you know, BYU is competitive, they're good, but it's not playing in the SEC or the Big Ten. Let's just be honest with it. So maybe he has a chance to dominate more, to participate more, to score more, to block more, to be more of a factor in college basketball next season at that level. Perhaps that's the way he wanted to go as to, you know, to have a big year to close out at least his college career. Kind of keeping an eye on college athletic departments. Colorado, the latest to announce, I saw this yesterday, their athletic director and 3 head coaches, 3 of the big high-paying head coaches, the football coach who's new, the men's basketball coach, and the women's basketball coach. They'll reduce their salaries by 10% through the upcoming fiscal year. There were a few other announcements that Colorado made as well on budget cuts, but again, expect to hear that to be pretty common and expect to hear things eliminated, things cut, things closing down as things continue on in this current pandemic. And of course, waiting to see what happens, and I don't think anyone knows yet and may not know for a little time into the future what exactly is going to happen with college football. That's a look at our Zaxby's headlines for this Friday edition of the program. Also, later in the show, in addition to the guests that are going to join us today, we do our senior spotlight for a spring sport athlete each day that has seen their senior year, their final opportunity in this spring just wiped away because of the pandemic that we currently find ourselves in. And today we'll be profiling a young lady from Borden named Dayton Nail. She's a softball player for the team, and so stay with us for that. Later in the show today, we'll tell you all about Dayton Nail, her softball career at Borden, what she's going to be up to beyond high school, and a lot more. So stay with us for that as our senior spotlight. Really enjoy doing these. It's been neat to go through all the coaches and athletes and their parents that have nominated, that have submitted their information, and we look forward to honoring, recognizing a lot more as we move forward. Just our small way of trying to help them get some recognition and to say thanks for all the work they've put in, because in many cases, these seniors have been training all school year long, all summer long, and get to their sport, you get near the start of your sport, and then school's out, and then the sport's gone, and the state tournament's gone, obviously, with these sports as well. So tough stuff for the senior class, tough stuff for a lot of people, and we'll recognize Dayton Nail a little bit later in the program today. All right, that's segment one in the book. Stay with us. We're headed to a break. We'll come back with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call. We'll talk Demezi Anderson, his departure from the program, and more IU basketball topics after this. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. We got Jared Morris with us of the Assembly Call, as always, in this segment with some IU basketball news to talk about, which it's been a while since I've said that, some new news to discuss here on the program, and that's the announcement yesterday that Demezi Anderson made. He is departing from the IU program after two seasons, South Bend, Indiana native. He will enter the transfer portal. Jared, we'll start off with that. What was your reaction, your immediate reaction, when you saw Demezi was going to leave Indiana?
My immediate reaction was basically just okay. It was not surprising. When you see a guy who, as a sophomore, doesn't play very much over the back half of his sophomore season, and really just didn't seem to. It was tough to project his role going forward, without, a major step forward from him developmentally and just with kind of the players that have been brought in. And so when you see that and when you know that clearly he's a talented guy, and you've seen him, produce in certain opportunities when he's gotten them in early season games, I always thought that it was a possibility. And so it did not surprise me when it happened, because we just live in an age of college basketball where it's almost more surprising if you go through a season without a guy transferring than a guy deciding to transfer. So it made a lot of sense, because I think, when you really dig down into it, it really seems to me like it can be a win-win on both sides. Because I think, Demezi had not carved himself out a role, but, he's an intriguing player. I mean, he's, 6'7". He has a good body. He's a physical guy. And we know that he can shoot, because we've seen it in short spurts at Indiana, and we know what he did in high school. Now, he's a guy who's a scorer, and he's kind of wired to score. And he really, how he was in high school, and, he strikes you as a player who needs to get into a rhythm and needs to get some minutes to kind of get going. And he never had that at Indiana, and there wasn't a clear path to him getting that. And so for him, you start to look at the back half of your college career, and do you want to just be fighting for minutes, or do you want to go somewhere where you can play? And clearly from his comments, he wanted to go somewhere where he can play. I think that's going to be good for him in the long run. I think he'll probably transfer to a lower level. And I think a team at a lower level is going to get a guy that, at the bare minimum is probably going to be a nice, microwave scorer off the bench if you can give him, 20 minutes a game. And at best, I think he's got the kind of talent to go to a lower level and, put up 15, 16 points a game. And I think you know, if he had gotten more playing time at Indiana, I think we would have seen the scoring come along a little bit more. But part of the reason why he didn't is because, you know, his defense was a work in progress. You know, his passing still needed to improve, and these are all things that he's acknowledged. But, you know, that kept him off the court, and then I think not getting the minutes made it so that we never really got to see the kind of offensive player that he can be. So I think for him it's going to help. I think, you know, from Indiana's perspective, you know, it's never good to have, you know, 12, 13 guys on a roster that all expect to play, that all think they should be playing. It's really hard to fit all of those guys into roles that they accept and to keep the kind of chemistry that you need on a team. And I think especially when that guy's an upperclassman, that can create issues. And so, you know, not that Dumizi projected to be that guy, because he had a humble attitude, a team-first attitude. You know, so I don't think it would have been an issue. But just as a coach, you know, you want to have a team with guys that are accepting of their roles, you know, even if they want to keep moving up and you have that internal competition. And so, you know, I think that will help. And I think just having an open scholarship, whether you bank it or whether you fill it right now, it gives you an opportunity to either maybe find a younger player that will be on a different developmental track that can fit a little bit of a different need, or, you know, find somebody who maybe fits better for this particular season, maybe a guy in the backcourt or something else. So, you know, overall, I wasn't surprised. I'm a little bit disappointed, more out of curiosity than expectation, because I was always curious about what kind of player Dumizi could be, you know, with a couple years of development. We won't get to see that. But I do think ultimately it's in everybody's best interest. And, you know, sometimes when guys transfer, that's true. And it seems like, you know, there's no bad blood on either side. There's no hard feelings. And so, you know, I think, you know, for all those reasons, I think it should work out well for everybody involved.
I agree with you. No real surprises, I guess. And I mentioned this in the first segment, if there was any surprise to the Dumizi transfer at all, it was that it came on, I guess, April 23rd yesterday. With how early college basketball ended this year, the college transfer portal was booming by the middle to latter part of March. You would think that he would want to get in there, want to give himself the most time and the most opportunities for schools that had scholarships and had needs that were looking. There's still places out there, and I don't have any question that he's going to find a Division I home next season. But I just would have thought he would have done it sooner. I guess once we got through mid-April, I thought, well, everybody's locked in, you would think, unless there's some sort of unseen circumstance.
You know, I'm surprised that we're not seeing more transfers now. And the reason I say that is because, you know, you're right, things ended early, and, you know, it's not like guys are on campus. I mean, they're away. You know, they're away from their teammates, away from their coaches, and obviously that was going to happen at some point. But, I mean, right now they would still be on campus. They'd still be in school, you know, still kind of, you know, closer to the message, you know, the consistent message that the coaches are trying to preach. And, you know, I think when guys go home, you know, and other people get in their ears, and, you know, it can be easy to start thinking that the grass is greener on the other side when you can't even see the original grass right now. You know, and I think that's why coaches sometimes are worried about when guys go home for Christmas break, you know, because they're in this bubble, you know, the message is pretty controlled, you're around all your teammates, and then you get away from that, and, you know, the mind can start to wander and wonder if there's a better opportunity elsewhere. And I'm not saying those aren't valid things to wonder about, they are, you know, but I think that stuff is going to happen more when you're on your own, there's more free time, you know, you're talking with different people. So I'm kind of surprised we're not seeing more, you know, capricious decisions, you know, where guys throw it in there, you know, just because, you know, almost on a whim. I'm not saying, you know, Dumizi's doing that at all, because it seems like it was well thought out and it seems to make a lot of sense. I'm just actually a little bit surprised that we haven't seen some others that are kind of head scratchers, just because, again, you know, guys are away and it's easy to let the mind wander.
You have to wonder, and some coaches have, you know, had virtual press conferences, or, you know, it's word's gotten out, but you have to wonder how often is this Indiana team having a Google Meet or a Zoom conference with each other to go through plans and maybe share some encouragement and just to see each other. Because, you know, these guys, like any team, I've heard high school teams are doing that. So, you know, college teams are way far advanced and in much more contact with different coaches about different subjects and strength and training and things in the off season. But these guys are around each other all the time. They live with each other. If they don't live with another player, they're in the same vicinity of them in many cases. They're around them oftentimes in similar classes, study tables together. And this is off-season, during the season, really year-round, outside of a few weeks or maybe a month each year. Big difference to not be around each other and communicate as a team and with your coaches in person on a daily basis.
Yeah, it is. And just to be able to work out together and, you know, play pickup games together, I mean, that stuff all helps build the chemistry. So, you know, I have no idea how college students kind of get together and stay in touch when they can't see each other in person. You know, are they doing Zoom meetings? Is it more of a, you know, thing where they're kind of, you know, meeting and playing video games together? You're obviously not in the same room, but virtually. I don't really know. But to your point, you know, I certainly hope that there's something being done to keep those connections strong as possible anyway.
One more on DeMeese, one more question. Where do you think, and I know a lot of it will depend on who has scholarships available and who has needs at this latter part of April, but what level do you think DeMeese could go to, whether it be next season if one time transfers end up being approved next month, or the following season if he does have to sit out as far as playing games? Could he go to a Ball State, Indiana State, and be a stud or a star there? Or do you think there's still a chance that another high major Power 5 conference school will try to scoop him up?
That's a good question. I'm not sure he has shown enough, really, for a Power 5 school to be really excited about it. Now, maybe he's a guy that, you know, if a coach has a vision for him and a vision for his development, then perhaps, especially if it's maybe a lower level of, you know, of a Power 5 school, like maybe a program that's in the state that Northwestern is in right now, maybe, you know, who's, you know, they've really been struggling, or a Nebraska, you know, where they're just kind of struggling to piece together a roster and feel like, you know, he would fit. But I really feel like he would be better served, you know, stepping down a level, you know, to a MAC, you know, like you mentioned Ball State or Indiana State, something like that, you know, where he's really going to go and get some playing time. He's going to be a junior. And obviously he's had some games, you know, I mean, he played 20-some minutes at Arkansas. And, you know, early in seasons, he's gotten some minutes. But as the seasons have gone on, he hasn't played very much. So now he just needs to play. You know, so I think for him, you know, someplace where he's going to be able to get, you know, get some playing time, and that may be, you know, a level or two down where he knows he's going to go get 25, 30 minutes and just be able to find his rhythm again and just start scoring some points. Because that's, it's clear when you watch him play, that's what he's wired to do. And that's why at times it was disappointing, you know, watching his confidence wane, because you could tell he was almost kind of fighting his natural instinct to just get the ball and go and really trying to fit into a system. And that's all part of it. I'm not saying he doesn't need to do that, but I think just finding the right fit for minutes and system where he can just go be himself. You know, I think for whatever team is going to get him and wherever he's looking to go, that would be the best fit. And I think if he finds it, then, you know, we're going to be seeing stories and being real happy to see that, hey, you know, DeMeese scored 20 again. DeMeese scored 22. Because, you know, you don't score that many points in high school and, you know, forget how to score, not be able to do it. And it's easy to forget that when, you know, you haven't seen him do it for a couple of years. But I still think that's there for him. So whether it's one level down, you know, at a MAC level or even a level below that, I think that's where he should be looking, and those are the type of programs that should be targeting him.
Jared Morris of the Assembly Call, my guest. Jared, if you were in charge of this open scholarship of DeMeese Anderson's now, and you know who's coming back, I think everyone's pretty confident that there will be no changes to the roster at this point unless something unforeseen happens. But knowing what Indiana has back, knowing pretty much enough about the incoming recruits, the new faces, with this scholarship, I don't need a name of a player or anything like that, but what are some skills or the type of player that you think, if Indiana's going to use this scholarship, this opening, and go for a JUCO player or go for a grad transfer and try to fill it for this season, what would be the type of player you'd like to see take that open scholarship?
Well, it all depends on Lander. You know, and I think we're all assuming that Lander's going to be able to reclassify, and I think that's a safe assumption. But if for some reason he can't, you have to get a ball handler. I mean, you cannot enter next season with only Rob, Armand, and Al Durham as your ball handlers. That's just not going to work. Now, if you throw Lander in that mix, you know, and you only have those four, you know, you might like to have one more just as insurance, you know, but good luck finding a good grad transfer who just wants to be insurance playing behind those four guys, you know, because they're going to obviously take the majority of the minutes. So I get that you don't want to reach there. You know, but again, if you're not going to get Lander, then you've got to have that other guy. If you do get Lander, you know, now I think you've got, you don't have a pressing need at that point, you know, so I think you just want to be open to opportunities. If, you know, if there's a guy in this class that, you know, I don't know, you know, the recruitment opens up and you have a chance to go get him and you think that he's, you know, that he could either contribute this year or that he's a guy you want to develop, now maybe use your scholarship on that guy, but you certainly don't use it just to use it. And I would be really careful about, you know, who you would bring in as a grad transfer, because most grad transfers are going to come in with certain expectations, and you don't want to, you know, rock the boat of a team that I think has pretty good chemistry by bringing in a guy whose expectations for playing time aren't going to be met. So you better make sure that he's really going to be able to help you and that you have a role ready for him. You know, or, you know, there might be someone who wants to transfer, you know, that maybe is a little bit more of a developmental guy. But again, he needs to be worth investing that scholarship in, because if not, you can just bank it, you know, and save it for, you know, for that 2021 recruiting class, which is going to be a really important one in which you still have a lot of targets in. So, you know, that it's going to hinge on Lander. And if you feel really good about that, then I think you can be extremely patient with this scholarship, you know, to the point where you're probably defaulting to holding it open, and you really have to be blown away by an opportunity that comes up to have someone fill it.
Jared Morris, the Assembly Call, great stuff as always, and we'll look forward to talking with you again next week. Keep up the great work.
Absolutely. Sounds good. Thanks, Matt.
Jared always with us on Friday as we talk IU basketball and more. We'll head to a break, and when we come back, Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star, a little more on Demezi Anderson. We'll get into some other basketball stuff with Kyle as well. Also in the next segment, we have our senior spotlight for a spring sport athlete, Dayton Nail of Borden softball. It will be who we'll tell you all about, all coming up in the next segment. This is a Friday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Final segment on this Friday program. We'll chat with Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star and then close out with our senior spotlight on Dayton Nail, a softball player at Borden High School today. Kyle, welcome in. Always glad to have you, and start the conversation with a sad note. We've talked a lot about COVID-19 and the coronavirus's effect on our state and some of the concerning moments and perhaps moments still ahead. But yesterday we learned of the passing of Ed Siegel. He was really recognized in the coaching community for his time at Indianapolis Pike, where he had all sorts of success with the Red Devils of Pike. But locally for us, he was a graduate of New Albany High School and someone that still followed the Bulldogs and kept in touch with the program. Hall of Fame member in our state's Basketball Hall of Fame, quality individual. And, of course, you hate to see him at an older age even pass due to this pandemic that we find ourselves in.
Yeah, like you said, Matt, and good to hear from you and talk with you again. But, yeah, sad news. I'd heard through a few people last week that Ed had contracted the coronavirus disease, and you know, being the age as he is, you know, knew that, you know, that's not a good thing for anybody, let alone someone in that age range. And you know, you talk to anybody, you know, and if you talk to Ed at all, you knew he was just a really nice guy, and obviously had been through some stuff in his own personal life with his son passing away at a younger age. And you know, just if you talk to anybody who played for him or you saw the stuff on social media yesterday, and I'm out this week on furlough, unfortunately. But you know, I was still kind of following along and seeing what people had said about him, and I think pretty representative of how everybody thought of Coach Siegel and everything he did, and really got the program really going at Pike. And you know, we know what it's become and what it's been throughout history, but he obviously had a huge role in playing a part in that, and kind of setting the groundwork for what was to come for Pike basketball. That's become one of the best programs in all of the state of Indiana throughout a long period of time.
Yeah, absolutely. I tell you, this virus has definitely affected Indianapolis and our whole state, but it's touched on the basketball community. We mentioned your article last week on the 4A sectional, where I think five people that attended that sectional have died now. At least 12, I think at least a dozen or so, had either contracted the disease or had some symptoms very along the lines of coronavirus. So definitely affecting things here from a basketball perspective in our state. Kyle, I want to ask you, we've spent a lot of time today on this, but I wanted to get your opinion from your perspective, because you covered Demezie Anderson as a high school player. Even though he was in South Bend, he was recognized as one of the better players in his class, and really an intriguing prospect through his latter year or two of high school. Your thoughts on his ability and his transfer from Indiana, and perhaps what level he could end up and finish his career out, where he could be a player that logs a lot of minutes and have a chance to really be the scorer, the Demezie that we're used to seeing, or we were at least in high school.
Yeah, I think he's definitely a guy with a lot of, you know, offensive ability and talent. And, you know, I think, you know, somewhere like you would think maybe a MAC school or, you know, somewhere in that range, he could really go shine and play a big role somewhere. Excuse me. But, you know, I think it's maybe short-sighted to pigeonhole him into any one, you know, to say it's a MAC level or whatever, because that, you know, it sounds like you're diminishing the MAC, but you know, I think at that level, he could be a starter, you know, depending on where he goes and fits in and how he kind of progresses as a player. He's definitely got the talent, you know, as we saw. He can play at a high level and be a, you know, an impact player. He was at the AAU level and at the high school level at the 4A, you know, in class 4A. So, you know, he's got the ability. I think it's a matter of just being a consistent player. You know, he didn't play a whole lot this year. I mean, I think he was, you know, 9 minutes a game and didn't, you know, there towards the end of the season, wasn't really playing at all. So, you know, we haven't got a full, you know, probably a full picture yet of what he can do at the college level. And, you know, not to say they should have been playing him more. I don't, you know, you don't know all the details of what's happening, but behind the scenes, but, you know, he's a guy who can definitely score, you know, and we knew that coming out of high school. I think it's just a matter of being that, you know, consistent type of guy. And I know from the, you know, from that year, the Indian All-Stars, he was a popular guy on that team. And I think a guy people really liked a lot. So I think he's a good, you know, can be a good piece somewhere. It's just a, you know, matter of finding where that is. And it could be at the Power Five level. I don't, you know, necessarily think it can't be at a higher level like that, but, you know, I think the book is still to be written on what he can do in his college career, for sure.
Kyle Nedenrip, the Indianapolis Star, joining us as we work through some basketball topics. I know you're on furlough this week, so I appreciate you still coming on with us, by the way. But I know you may not be as connected to your computer and your phone as what you normally might be. But there was a lot of buzz on a couple Indiana forums, discussion boards and social media, that a couple people had said, oh, it's Trey Kaufman is close to a decision and he's going to commit to Indiana. And I talked with Coach Hoffman last night, and he said that, you know, no one knows at all where Trey Kaufman is going. His mother and he are working through pros and cons of each school, and he doesn't even know that he's close, doesn't think he's close to a college decision. So with that said, it pretty much is internet fodder, but it does make you wonder, as we've talked about coronavirus and how it's affected sports and shut down sports and affected recruiting and AAU basketball. And, you know, I've mentioned with a player like Trey that he's fortunate in the fact if he ends up missing And I think it's likely that even in July, this thing is done as far as is exposure from the coaches, live periods for the Division I coaches. He's fortunate that he has so many offers to choose from now, but some of the other schools, the Duke and the Kentucky and maybe others, North Carolina, that haven't offered but are very interested, this springtime may have been the opportunity for him to land a couple more offers before he bunkers down and does make a decision, or really starts to comb through and begin the decision process. So even the Trey Kaufman level player, the top level player, best in the state, no question about it, he's a high major player, might have a pro future to him, who knows. Even for someone like him, they can be affected because of some of the things that have been shut down or canceled or postponed because of this virus.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. And, you know, I've heard some of those same, you know, not being on message boards, but I heard some of the same, you know, talk or you know, the secondhand all of it, but about Kaufman and IU as well. So, you know, I think there's, you know, there's always, you know, that possibility. But as we talk a lot, I think on your show is you know, recruiting, it can be true one day and maybe it is not the next. You know, it changes quickly. So, you know, who knows for sure. But I agree. I mean, a lot is changing. You know, and it's funny, you think back to, you know, having written that story on Sectional 10 that ran Saturday, and it got a lot of, you know, a lot of traction. A lot of people, I think, were surprised by it. I guess I was surprised that he got so much reaction. I guess I was maybe too close to it to know for sure what the response would be like. But you think back to back then, and you know, we were so upset that the regional was going to be called off, and it was demoralizing. It was weird. It was something that's so strange. And now, you know, here we are 6 weeks later, and you know, everything has changed, and we don't know what the timeline is for any of this stuff. And you know, I just can't imagine, you know, it was specifically to recruiting, you know, going to, and I know there are some talks out there of trying to do some sort of truncated AAU season in July, maybe late June into July, but I just can't imagine what that would look like. And it seems too soon right now, as we sit here on April 24th, to even bring people into a gym to do something like that. But, you know, I don't know, you know, it's maybe too early to think like that, but these plans have to be laid out at some point, and you have to decide even for fall sports here pretty soon, we're going to have to have some sort of a plan in place, to get stuff off the ground, you know, speaking not even high school, but college football, I think is the big one. I'm curious to see what happens with that and how they're able to, you know, what they're able to do with that. But I don't know. I think, you know, unfortunately for guys like, you know, a lot of the guys at the highest level and at the mid-level and even the smaller school level, this AAU season being wiped out is completely changed everything. I think we've seen maybe more commitments because of that and more things starting to happen. Luke Goody, for example, from Homestead, committing to Illinois. I'm not sure that happens. Not to say he wouldn't end up at Illinois, but maybe not happen until after the AAU season. So I think things like that are happening in part because of where we're at as far as nothing going on. And I think it's happening in football too, as far as commitments go. And I think we'll see more football commitments come, but it's an ever changing landscape. And I think the world of, you know, the world as a whole, you know, it's going to be different when we come out of this. I don't think a lot of stuff's going to go back to the way it used to be. And I'm just curious what all that looks like when we finally get there, and hopefully we get there relatively soon.
Yeah, I wonder. You hear talk of a winter round of this deal, and you start to think ahead about our beloved basketball. And if college football and high school football don't happen, and then there's even just a delay with basketball, I think people will go absolutely stir-crazy nuts missing sports and missing especially basketball in our state. Kyle, as always, it's great to catch up. And always look forward to closing out the week with you, talking some hoops and some high school stuff. And enjoy the rest of your time off. We'll catch up again next week.
Okay, sounds great. Thanks a lot, Matt.
All right, Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star, always with us on Fridays. We'll close out today with our spring spotlight, or excuse me, let me get that straight, our senior spotlight for spring sport athletes. A lot of S's there. We've done this every day now for, I think, 3 weeks or so, which means we've profiled at least 15 senior athletes from Clark and Floyd counties so far, and we have a good number still to go. We look forward to continuing this each day to tell you who's who and what they've accomplished. There have been just some great notes, whether it's been a sports accomplishment or something that has nothing to do with the sport they play, maybe academically or an interest in the community, whatever it may be. And this is just a small way for us to get these spring sport athletes a little bit of publicity, a little bit of public thank you, since they won't have a senior night or a senior day. And today we recognize Dayton Nail. She's a softball player at Borden High School for the Braves, and lots of athletic accomplishments for her. She was team captain for Coach Vic and the girls' basketball team, softball, volleyball as well. Basketball sectional championship game as a junior year. She was MVP of the Borden softball team her junior year. Get this, 9 varsity letters with senior softball being canceled. And she also won a Scholastic Athlete Award as well. Academically, Dayton Nail, very strong also. National Honor Society, vice president at Borden, high honor roll throughout her high school career, and again, a Scholastic Athlete Award as well. Other things, hobbies, who she is, she says, she writes, "I love working with kids in cadet teaching in kindergarten and also coaching biddy ball. I enjoy hanging out with family and friends, playing sports, traveling, and watching LA Dodgers baseball. Also have a huge passion for helping others and pursuing a nursing career." She wanted to give some shout-outs to coaches and others that have helped her in her sports career at Borden. Coach Loy, the softball coach, Coach Ferris, the volleyball coach, Coach Vic, the girls' basketball coach, and also Christy Horton, who was a trainer for her. Dayton Nail is the daughter of Eric and Tracy Nail, and when she concludes her high school career and diploma at Borden High School later this year, she will go on to IU Southeast, where she intends to pursue a career in nursing. That's a very noble career, especially with the current pandemic that we find ourselves in. She will not continue on with softball or sports at the college level as she focuses on her career in nursing at IU Southeast. So, Dayton, we say congratulations to you, and we are so very sorry that the senior season did not take place, but we recognize all the work that you've put in on the softball diamond, but also in the classroom as well. A very, very impressive resume that you've put together as you head into your college years, and I have no doubt you'll be a big success as a future nurse, we hope, right here in Southern Indiana. All right, that wraps it up for today. Dayton Nail of Borden Softball, our senior sport athlete, and I'll be back with you next week, every day, 11 a.m., the Hoosier Report right here on the Big X. Find us as a podcast. We're an Apple Podcast and SoundCloud as well. If you can't catch us live, we've got lots of things lined up for you next week. Our senior spotlights continue, and plenty to get to, even in this downtime, this stay-at-home period. As I remind you heading into each weekend, stay healthy, stay safe, stay home, and we'll catch up with you Monday here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.